All right, so welcome to the Inside the Game podcast by Scores for Sport Management. And today I'm excited to be joined by one of our clients who has been with us for several years now. And it's always great working with him and communicating with him. Welcome to the podcast, Kazemba Abeef.
Hey, how you doing? So glad to be here. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm ready to get started.
Yeah, great to have you on. Obviously, we are in the beginning of July now, and this off season, this summer, has been very different to the years before. Take us back to when you were still in Europe, in Finland, and how all that kind of played out when the season ended and it all just suddenly stopped.
It was crazy, honestly. Really, we've heard about coronavirus, maybe heard about it like in January and stuff, and even amongst the team, we didn't really know too much about it. There wasn't a lot of information on it, and there's a lot more information now, but we still don't know everything about it. So it really just went from 0 to 100, where I'm literally getting dressed for practice and we get a text to the group chat from the coach saying, no practice today due to like the coronavirus. There's like the league is being suspended. And like that was, it happened that quick. It literally went from me getting dressed to checking my phone before I leave to we get a text saying stay at home. The league suspending the league, no practice. And so it was just very, very like weird, you know, and especially like it went from being suspended and we'll get it reviewed 1 week from now to literally the next day finding out the season's canceled. So literally almost within like a 24-hour process, it went from us about to go to the gym to prepare for our game in 2 days to the league suspended to 12 hours after that, the league coming out and saying it's canceled. It was crazy.
And you guys had a great season up to that point. You were on one of the top teams in Finland with the Helsinki Seagulls. And how did that feel for it to kind of abruptly end like that? I mean, how did you guys discuss that as players, as a team?
We were all disappointed, honestly. We were disappointed for the fact that, like you're saying, we were having a great season. We were 30-6 at that point. We won the Finnish Cup Championship this year, undefeated at home, went 18-0 at home. So, and then just within those next 10 days, we were going to be playing other two top teams in the league too. So it was really getting into the swing of gearing up for playoffs, like winning another championship, which was all our focus, keeping that home streak of being undefeated. Like, that's very rare feat. I don't even, like, even going 18-0 at home is, like, is huge. But that was, we were all upset. We really wanted to play out the league. And we had a special team. We really felt that, like, from day one that we could be special. And at least for the first 7 months, we made the most of it. But we were all upset that it came to an end because of the trajectory we were going on and how much we were looking forward to winning another championship together.
Well, you guys did win the cup, so you have one cup and one championship under your belt from this season. When that news came that the league is canceled and everything will be stopped for the 2019-20 season, you've played over here, so you've been, you know, kind of the positives and the negatives of being overseas, the whole health system. What was the process like for you to decide, do I want to stay in Europe for now, going back to the States? How did you handle that?
I was considering, like, where I was in Finland at the time, I think there might have been zero deaths and only 55 cases. Finland's like an isolated country almost, like it's not like one of those heavily tourist places like Paris or London or something like that. It's only 5 million people in the country. So, and a lot of it is spread out. So it's besides Helsinki and Tampere, where a couple of major cities, there's a lot of social distancing already and it has a great healthcare system. So I was considering, like for a couple of days, I'm like, it might actually be safer to stay over here and see how it plays out, at least over the next couple of weeks or a month or so to see how it was going. Because really, at that point, nobody knew how many cases there would be. Some countries and states were going at a rapid rate, but Finland was pretty safe. It really kicked in where I like, all right, I need to get home as soon as possible when the U.S. government started enforcing a travel ban.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Basically, they were telling everybody, if you're American, you need to come back or you can risk the chance of not being able to re-enter the country. And we couldn't foresee how long that would be. So right. I'm like, if I don't get back, I might be stuck over here for who knows how long. Nobody knew if, like, where this virus would take us. So it was just the smartest decision, and I felt like the safest plan to at least be back home with my family, like just quarantining there instead of staying in Europe and risking not being able to come back to the United States.
Yeah, I remember that, you know, when that travel warning kind of came out and a lot of clients were starting to think about that. What do I do now? Can I jump on a plane tomorrow? You know, get home fast. What I really was impressed by is how, you know, you and our clients handled all of this. And I also felt like many of the clubs did a really good job supporting the players there. That was really nice to see. So, yeah, but we'll get into the whole off-season topic a little later in this podcast. Can you take us back a little bit into your college days playing at Drexel and when you kind of realized that, yeah, maybe this overseas thing is something that I want to do throughout your college career? How was that for you?
College was just a great experience overall. Had and played with a great group of guys. We still have a group chat to this day with all of us. So just having that connection there, that's always going to stick with me. One of the reasons I even went to Drexel, one of the things that played a part in the recruiting process and to choosing to go there was their reputation of getting players overseas. There was a list of players who had played professional from Drexel that were tangible, that I can talk to and mm-hmm. like I would see and stuff like that. So I definitely wanted to go to a school where I at least knew I would have the opportunity if the NBA doesn't come along, where it would give me a chance to still pursue my passion and get to travel the world and see the world. So I feel like that, just picking that school, also going overseas played a part in me choosing that school. So I was definitely wanted that to be my goal, like throughout college. I know I wanted to continue to play after college. And then as I'm a freshman and the class is graduating before me, I'm watching them graduate Drexel and then sign an overseas contract. Next year, two more people sign contracts. And these are people I've been with every day. So working out and stuff, you can really see that, all right, this, I'm on the right path, or I can keep putting in this work to possibly get this opportunity.
And the whole agent selection process for you, what did that look like back then?
Back then it was, I felt like the agent selection process was a tough one. I knew for sure I wanted to take my time in selecting an agency and like talking, because I know right after the season in March, right after the season, you'll have a bunch of agents hitting you up, but you want to see who's going to stay consistent. Do you really want me, or are you just looking on college rosters, seeing who's a senior, and literally just going through messaging everybody who you think can be a potential client? So I think I thought taking my time and selecting and seeing who's there for the long run, see who checks in. I'm still making my decision. I'll let them know I'm still making my decision. Check in a week later, 2 weeks later, and stuff like that. And ultimately, Scores First got me all 4 years of contracts. So,
yeah, that came after the selection process, right?
Oh, yeah. So when I chose an agent, not going to name the agency. I chose them because it was a familiarity with the guy was like a former player, who I was speaking like a former college player and, who played overseas. So I thought just that connection and really honestly telling me some of stuff that I just wanted to hear and not really being completely knowledgeable to how overseas works, different countries, different levels, where are good places to play, aren't good places to play. And I just felt like the communication wasn't there during that process as I wanted it to be after I had signed. And I ultimately like realized like I made the wrong decision. It came down between them and Scores First. And fortunately, like the connection was still there. And this was only maybe 3 months later, I think, the end of August, I made the switch to Scores First, which I felt like I should have selected in the first place.
Well, that's been a great run, you know, since we've been working together, that's for sure. And that all comes to your hard work. But, you know, like the whole agent selection process, I feel like, and you've kind of touched on it a little bit, mentioning the NBA goals you have, things that are going on around you. What did you feel like made it so difficult to really figure out who's real about it and who has those right intentions for you? Because figuring out who tells you what you want to hear and who needs it is a difficult topic, because in the end, you know, hearing what you want to hear is a nice thing, right?
Absolutely.
It makes it more difficult. Like, what was it that really made that more difficult, or what kind of advice would you have for players now what to really look out for?
I would tell some players, like, there's going to be a learning process. You're not going to know it all coming out of college, but I would really advise talking to guys if they didn't go to your school, or talking to guys you know that play overseas who've been in the business for multiple years, because I'm going into year five now, and each year I've learned a lot more about different countries, how the game works, having contracts, getting set up different ways and stuff like that. And this is all through talking to other people. Mm-hmm. But so I recommend everybody doing that. Definitely talk to people who have been overseas, who have maybe even had multiple agents, who have had to fire an agent before, to get you more prepared for like how it actually is, because you really don't know anything coming in being like an American college student to being a European or overseas professional athlete. They're two totally separate worlds, and you definitely have to learn about both. But for selecting one and trying to figure that out, what makes it difficult is because you know that it's an agent's job to talk fast and tell you what you want to hear and to say a bunch of things and stuff like that. So I really avoided a bunch of, for me, I really tried to avoid people who were just telling me stuff who I'm good at figuring out BS, I feel like, for the most part. I narrowed that down by just sometimes even where the places of the countries that the agent usually works with. That's definitely mm-hmm. something people should be asking before they sign an agent. Where do you place most of your clients? Everywhere is not the same. Every European country is not the same. Two countries can border each other. speak two totally different languages, two totally different cultures, have two totally different basketball leagues and everything like that. So I feel like coming out of college, you think it's kind of all the same. You don't really know the difference. You don't know the difference of levels or which countries have higher levels and stuff like that. So that's something major to ask. But you have to trust your gut. Take your time and trust your gut. And always never burn bridges.
Right.
Never burn bridges. That is key. Even if you don't choose an agent or there's a couple agencies you don't go with, like, you don't know how your career is going to go. You don't know what happens. Your agent might just decide they don't want to be an agent anymore. Right. Like, literally, they're like, I don't want to be in this business anymore, you know, and already having previous connections with agents that you've built a relationship with through talking and stuff can help you in the long run if you do want to make a switch or if you're in a position you don't want to be in. It's better to go with somebody who you at least built a couple months relationship with prior to making your selection, rather than having to start this whole process all over again.
Right.
Once you fire your agent or now you're going back to ground zero. You can be 3 years overseas and you fire your agent and don't know any other agents or don't have a relationship built because you might have just signed with the first agent who talked to you out of college or whoever told you what you wanted to hear the most or what made the whatever you felt as though you wanted to hear at that time. And building relationships in any business is essential, especially in this overseas professional basketball.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think that being open-minded, who you speak to, coming prepared, meaning a set of questions, things you really want to know. And I think, you know, if you use players that you know who have already played overseas, using them as people, as resources who can help you ask the right questions. But then maybe even making a list, you know, of trigger words that could be the words where, hey, you know, if this is said too often, maybe it sounds too good to be true.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And being prepared for that as well, because I think those are the things where most of the mistakes are made. And having a good understanding of who you are helps as well, but that obviously the younger you are, the more difficult that is. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, but being open-minded about that overseas can be a destination or a springboard is huge as well. And that it's not something where if you don't make it to the NBA, which is a very small circle of people, that's not a failure, you know, that can be so much more and it can be such a positive thing. And we look at your career and you're still, well, not at the start of it. You're like right in the middle of it, the places you've gone and how you kind of worked your way up through the different leagues and levels and countries, you've already seen quite a bit. Can you describe what initially, when you came to Germany, what was like the biggest difference for you coming from the US to overseas? What was the biggest challenge for you?
The biggest challenge, I'll start with my first challenge. My first challenge when I got there was they gave me a car that I couldn't drive, didn't know how to drive. So in Europe, it's basically a lot more common, way, way more common for cars to be driven manual transmission compared to America. Unless you're driving a fancy sport car and you know what you're doing, you know, everybody has automatics. So they give me my own apartment and my car. I literally had to go on YouTube and figure out how to drive a manual transmission. So it took me a few days to really get it down. And as I kept going and learning, it's actually quite fun. I prefer, especially driving on an Autobahn, like right. I prefer manual cars over automatics sometimes, just because you feel like you're controlling the car, you're one with the car. The biggest transition I would say is, you think that in college you work out a lot, you're working hard, you're getting up 7 a.m. lifts, and you got practice and stuff like that, but you're a student. You're supposed to be a student athlete. And that's what the NCAA claims, that we all are student athletes in college. So you have to go to class. You have hours of class. You might have 6 hours worth of class that day, you know? That no longer exists. You have to be in the gym. Like, they have the expectations to bring it every day. They're paying you to be there. This is your job. So you have to make sure you're managing your time better, make sure you're eating better. You have to make sure you're eating right, you know, working out multiple times a day. Over there, you're doing doubles. So there's no just not in training camp. Like, throughout the season, you're doing weight rooms, you're going to do individual work, you're going to team practice, long film sessions and stuff. And a lot of college programs, which I felt as though Drexel had prepared me better than a lot of other players. I mean, a lot of other colleges and stuff, from what I based on, like, how other players preparation was that I've seen and played with. But it's still a big transition. You know, the time zone is different. Learning how to talk to your family, figure out a schedule that works out best. If you have a girlfriend back home, like, figuring out how that's going to be a lot different. So it's really a lot of life challenges too you have to figure out. And then you're also by yourself in a foreign country for the most part. My rookie year, I had my own apartment. So when I wasn't in the gym with my team, I was by myself and in a new country, where compared to college, you know, there's thousands of other college who are your peers, right, that you can go. You can just walk around campus and do whatever. You have a lot more time to yourself. So you have a lot more time to grow, reflect on what you want, what your goals are. You have a lot of time to yourself. So I recommend that people use it wisely. Don't waste it. Everybody has 24 hours in a day. Make a checklist of stuff that you want to do. And my goal each day is to get better in some way, whatever it is, like learn something new, work out, anything. Just always trying to progress every day. Like, I'm making it intentional to do something productive and get better every day. So make sure you're doing something with your time, I would say.
I think that's good advice, you know, staying busy, especially in a new environment where, yeah, of course you have your teammates and all that, but it's not like what you just mentioned. It's not like college, where there's somebody around all the time and everybody has kind of their own situation, own family life and all that stuff. So you started out in Fechter, Germany. You kind of started out with the farm team of the BBL team at that time, and you had a lot of practices to drive to with your new car, with all these different that you had to do. From there, you went to the top league in Denmark, and you were, you know, the key player there for that team. And then you went to Finland to be with one of the top teams there, and now Helsinki Seagulls to make a run for the title. That dynamic of kind of moving to different countries, different levels of play, how did that transition feel for you? Best describe
that transition perspective. I would say it's a grind. It's a grind. You got to mentally and physically stay prepared. I'm blessed to be given the opportunities by these programs to play for them. But from year to year, I like I said, just in life, year to year in basketball, it applies the same way. I want to keep moving up. I want to keep grinding. And, you know, just being a vector and just practicing with, like, the BBL every day and competing. And I was fortunate enough to play in a few BBL games. Mm-hmm. I knew I can do this for sure. This isn't far-fetched. Like, I'm I'm competing every day in practice. Like, somebody walks in the gym, they can't tell the difference. Like, I didn't feel as though there was that big of a difference. You know, some of the guys, it's definitely different from coming from college, where, you know, most people coming to college as a teenager, you know, you're still leaving your young 20s and you go overseas, and there's guys who have families, who have kids. You know, I got a teammate who got 4 kids, one on the way. And we're playing for a job. So, like, they're bringing it every day. So you got to always stay prepared. And next, going to Denmark, I was just super hungry. I wanted the opportunity to really just be in the first league and showcase my talents. And I was able to do that. And then we had a really good year in Denmark, lost to the champions in the semifinals against the Bakken Bears, really good team, European team. And I was able to go to Finland and play for the champions of that league. And I was able to play in the Champions League too, in qualifications. And that was big for me. Like, that was huge, because now I was able to see what international competition was like. I know what it's like to have to get on a plane and go to a different country, play for a game with the travel, and playing against other high-level European teams, like other champions of other countries. You know, we playing against flying to France and playing against like Nantes, who's a Pro A team in France, who plays in Euro Cup this year now. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew that I can play on that level too. Which I was doing really well, and I was averaging like 14 and 5. Fortunately, I got hurt that season, so I couldn't finish out my third year. But I was fortunate enough this year to have an opportunity to go back and play for a different team, but the same coach, who I was with the year before. He went to a new team, and I was fortunate enough to come to Helsinki, and that was great, just because this is also the first time I've lived in a city while being overseas. All the other places I lived, no bigger than 40,000 people in the town, which was something new for me. That was also a big transition, being a city boy growing up all in the city my whole life, going to a college in a city where it's 1.5 million people, where I've spent the last 4 or 5 years of my life, to then going to a town that has 30,000 people, and then 40,000, or might have 14,000.
Right.
This past season, I was actually in the capital city and stuff, and that brought a total different dynamic to, like, just living and stuff like that overseas too. But I'm happy with how my career has been progressing, and I'm a lot even more hungrier now to keep that elevating and keep working my way up and continue to play in bigger and better leagues each year.
Well, you've certainly been somebody, and you know, that's how we like to work, who always looks at it from a big picture perspective, and who kind of thinks more about where does this take me over, like, yeah, money is important always, but, you know, where can this lead me to? Does this help me put myself in a better position going forward? And you've always taken that as a big key in how you made decisions on where to sign with your opportunities. Where do you want to be in 4 to 5 years? Do you have like a vision for that? Is how do you think about that?
Absolutely. I always have goals. I always have a 1-year goal, a 3-year goal, and a 5-year goal too, especially like with my career. In 4 to 5 years, see myself playing at the highest level. If it's in Europe, that's EuroLeague, like, because I have that much confidence in myself, and I feel as though I can do it. I can do anything. I put my mind to physically, I can do it to anything. So that's why I see myself in each step that I'm making and with the decisions of where to go each season and stuff like you were saying, it's always to be a building block, to be a ladder. Because there, you don't want to go to a bad situation where you might sign for a lot of money, you might not see any of it because the team or the country doesn't normally pay, and that gives you a bad experience of how European basketball is. Everything's not the same. So for me, I wanted to do it in a nice building block way. So even when that opportunity comes my way and that contract gets offered, I know I'm ready. I've made the steps, done my progression. I've worked for this, and I'll be ready for the opportunity when it comes my way. So see myself playing at the highest level possible in 4 to 5 years, international competition, high league, just competing every night on a high level in front of thousands of fans.
That's a great goal and a great plan to have, and to kind of tackle that year by year, but with a big picture approach in mind. I think that's key and the right way to go about it. Now, obviously, this offseason is different from others. And normally I would have asked, what does your typical offseason look like? But, you know, with the now the COVID-19 situation and that definitely being different in across countries, across states, how are you staying in shape? How are you spending your time? How are you doing handling this?
I've been trying to stay as busy as possible. Until COVID happened, you really don't even get to feel how much life is like without some of these things. Like how much, like, you have the access to go to a gym, to a weight room and stuff before this hit. Like it's just crazy, because being without it, it's just like, oh my God, this is so different and I don't like it. So I've been really having to do it, like a lot of outdoor running. And I had to invest in some, like a little at-home weight room. I got some kettlebells, some heavy kettlebells, got some bands, yoga mats, got my jump rope, got some dumbbells. I have an in-home bike machine, really just trying to do as much as possible. Got my own basketball. The courts haven't, the gyms haven't fully opened up yet, but if there's any opportunity, which I think they're supposed to be opening up, everything's going into phase 3 where I'm at in the next 5 days. So I'm so excited to actually get back on the indoor court, to use like a full weight room facility and stuff. It's been difficult for everybody. Even in the NBA, like most players don't have weight rooms or gyms in their homes either. So it's been difficult from everybody. Like, you don't really think about that stuff until situations like this happen. Now I'm glad, fortunate to at least know, as I continue, that I want to have like a weight room in the house, or to when I build a home, to have a basketball court there and stuff like this for any situation. But I've been still working out every day, still trying to stay in the best shape as possible. So when my number is called, I'm ready. And I'm just looking forward to the next opportunity.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit before we started recording. But, you know, you just said when your number is called. Obviously, for you as a player and for us as agents, it's also our job to kind of help you work through this, and especially the unknown of our current time. How are you personally dealing with that? You know, leagues are going to start later, but some leagues don't have a set date yet. A lot of things are unknown. How are you coping with that?
I've been coping well, even better than I thought I would originally when the season ended in March. And you're like, oh my God, I don't know what's gonna happen. You know, some leagues are going to restart, some are ending. You know, nobody knows anything. So for me personally, I just have to keep reminding myself that the thing is, when you put in work every day and when you're preparing, it's not that what you do by the time you get to the game or something, it's you prepared every step of the way for that game. Even this situation where everything is unknown right now, I put the preparation in to where I can feel confident in myself and my agency to where, like, I'll still be okay. Like, even with all this madness, just trust yourself, continue to put the work in every day. We had a great year in Finland, won a lot of games. I played pretty well. So I just think that you have to trust the process. The same way I have a goal and building blocks for like long term, it's short term as well. So even with this bump in the road with COVID, that doesn't change my aspect or my outlook on how I go into things year to year. This season played 40 games. So it's not like I played in a league two where we had 16 games before the season or 10 games before the season was over. I trust my body of work that I put in this year. And now it's just about finding the right situation for myself for the next year. But I'm just confident. You got to stay even keel at all times. Worrying and stressing doesn't do good for the body, doesn't do good for anybody. So, you know, you just got to just stay the course, trust the process, trust the agency, trust yourself, trust your mind, trust God.
And focus on what you can control, I guess, is a good way to kind of probably summarize that and keep working at, you know, and using all the resources that you have at the given time. And these times are definitely different than others. And hopefully this will be the only summer where we have to deal with a pandemic like this in our lifetime. So, Kez, thanks for your time. This was great. I'm sure it's helpful for a lot of players. And thanks for taking us through your journey in basketball so far. And we look forward to working with you on the future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to coming back on the show and have some more stories. And I'll give you an update where I end up next season.
All right. Kez, stay safe.
Same to you.
Thanks for listening to the Scorer's First Inside the Game podcast. It was great to have Kazemba Abif on the show. And again, thanks for your time. And we hope you'll keep coming back for future podcasts.